Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly English medium discussion. We can have almost 1 hour for the discussion. So we have our appointed topic from the Sutta Nipata. Before going to that, I would like to know whether any other one, before starting that, I would like to know anyone having any other suggestion or any other topic or any other interview reports for a few minutes, and then we are going to go to the our conventional topic.
Sarai Bhante, we have received one report. With your permission, I would like to present.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I can see Brisbane Chatu also raising his hand.
Yeah.
I'll go to the report first, Bhante.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, Bhante. Therwan Saranai, walking meditation. Walk outdoors. Could feel the soul relaxed. There were a couple of preparation on the sole before keeping the toes on the ground. The toes touched the floor in a very relaxed manner. Could feel the heel was also stretching inside, just like the toes. And the inside of front mount was also stretched just like the toes. The mind was relaxed and focused. But at the end of the path, while turning, the concentration is disturbed. As you went on with the focused walking, you take it for granted you are focused and nothing to worry. And then the other mundane thoughts and vitakka creeps in. As if focused and relaxed, mind has free space in between, and the other thoughts can come and occupy these free spaces. Sitting meditation. Settle to observe the breathing. It's a break from the busy and non-focused routine. Before sitting to observe the breath, the mind is relaxed and so many memories and thoughts on people surface, which I would never think during the day-to-day activities. Made a firm decision on concentrating on breath. Couldn't feel the breath and body was silent. Yet, notice breathing is taking place subtly, not through the nose so much. Even though the mouth was closed, felt the breathing was happening through the mouth. Concentrated on this moment and sensation, and the breath was felt in the nostril getting in and out. Much merit to you, Swamin Mahanse. End of the report, Bhante.
Good. You have enough enthusiasm or interest. So, report is lively, and as far as you have vitakka, that means quite a natural process. From vitakka only, mental proliferation and further intuitive or inferential thoughts are happening, then onward only defilement happens. So, up to vitakka, no defilements. Even to the Buddha, it can happen. So, then when it is triggering off, from the vitakka onward, is it your will, under your willpower or not, is the decisive factor. Many things, no noises, thoughts are vitakka coming and naturally become manjana or papancha or mental proliferation, and that you get exhausted. So you have to understand at vitakka level there is a green light, amber light and red light. You can stop at that level. Then you are a genius, you are a Arya Pugala, or noble person, or true person. If there is a vitakka, everything is going to proliferate and daydreaming, fantasizing, happening, that means there is no second person cursing you, you are the person, so therefore you have to look into that. But first of all, you have to see how vitakka is trigger off to the mental proliferation, vichara, vedana, sanya, sanskara, vijnana. That is why we have to thin slice the time. So whenever I see something, I can have a feeling it's a good or bad, liking or disliking, no harm. If you are going to proliferate upon that, you will be subjected to this situation. So it may be a little too much. But present day, whenever Chandaratana is going to make a PhD thesis on that, that is what we just discussed on the concept and reality, where how the vitakka can proliferate into storytelling, fabrication, and fantasizing, daydreaming. So artificial intelligence is that fabrication. Artificial intelligence is that proliferation. I mean, it is not bad as far as you know it. But don't appreciate wholeheartedly because it's a sickness. It's a cancer. It's a fast-growing cancer. So you can stop it. That is how our early ancestors, they never proliferated. I don't know whether it is knowingly or unknowingly. They're happy living in the forest. They never disturb the forest. But the present day, Joe Biden is asking the Samsung company in the South Korea and have a $18 billion project on artificial intelligence for the present day questions. Sick. Utterly sick. I'm not telling chic. Sick. So the Buddha says, stop at that. It is happening, even for us. But we are not allowing, we are not sending kites. We are not fabricating. We are not storytelling. So that is well understood in the quantum physics, how the storytelling happens, how the fabrication happens. And then onward it go beyond. It is Buddha says, papancha sanya sankha samudha charanti. When become papancha, and you get inundated by your own papancha sanya sankha, ultimately you have to have artificial breathing or oxygen because you are inundated. Very nicely, Venerable Jnanananda explained it, we are taking hours and hours, but I see many monks are sleeping when the discussion is happening because they are not interested in. No harm. Jnanananda's product is not Srila, the Nisarnavane product, but we are very happy, we are very proud. But we are critical, so if you can stop at papanja vitakka level, genius. The best example is the Madhupindika Sutta. So good, please continue without daydreaming, without fantasizing. You are on the correct path according to my gauging. Chatu?
Avasarai Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
I have a general question. I met an interesting person. He's practicing transcendental meditation. They say TM meditation. And I didn't know much about it. And what is a secret mantra? And they repeat it and they gain transcendence through that. That's their goal, I believe. For me, that sounded like concentration meditation or samatha meditation. But when I asked the person about it, he didn't seem to, I don't think their goal was concentration at all, or they didn't consider it concentration. Do you have any insight on what that type of meditation is?
Yeah, I read a book called Placebo Effect, and in that book they have mentioned about how the transcendental meditation sent the world into madness through just a mantra. And the chief was Robertson. He's a brain specialist, and he has written the relaxation response. I got out the book. I have a copy. It is very cheap. It sold 3 million. And it was a breakthrough. There's no magic in the meditation. Just mere mindfulness is nothingness is the secret. No object, no mantra, no secrets. Any secret can work, no harm. But the placebo effect is the most effect. If your mind is healthy, no sicknesses. If this medical thing going to happen, healthy mind can be more easily cured than the sick mind. So I will send you the link. Recently only I got down from the same person, Sarath. He is a person thought to give me the book called Placebo Effect. So today people are making money out of pharmaceutical industry, making money out of mindfulness business. And everything they think something magic. There's no magic. Just keep in the mind. And transcendental meditation never send you transcendental. It's giving you the memory, it is giving you the studying and all the kind of thing. It was good when the Mahashiva Mahayogi is giving for the people with marijuana. And hippies, they found this is religious. But Robertson, he did the research and he saw there is no such a thing. There is no mantras. I mean, they are working. Faith is working. And what you believe working, but it's very limited. And main thing is it is preventing mindfulness. Blocking mindfulness is nothing. But he is not directly talking about mindfulness. But we, being practicing mindfulness, we can see Buddha make no commodity, no sellable things. There is no secret. He says, just keep the mind blank as much as possible. Then the mind healing by itself. That is called placebo effect. Many are not happy. You can see how the corona business is happening, how the vaccine business is happening. And instead, if you can have your own immunity, and immunity is the 13th factor, not to have corona. They never mention about that. But you have to live in a corona-free place, in the good environment, and make your mind as much as at-home situation. So I hope that mentioning by Robertson as well as the relaxation response, Chatu's question will be answered. Hello?
Thank you, Bhante.
You told that the solar the panels are not available, but I got one in the box.
I found one, Bhante, don't worry.
So I won't pass merits to you. Now you got the idea, we got all the items. I am still on the process of boxing or unpacking the things.
Good that they are good items, Bhante.
They are, really. Buddha Rakita Amru is going to get extraordinary, extra marks, or how do you call it? Extras, telling he is the person who recommended the items and kind of, I don't care, because I am the father, I am the person getting the benefits. So, really, we are in putting into use. Thank you very much, Buddha.
Welcome, Bhante.
Okay, now we are going to Venerable Buddha Rakita. Yes? There's a bike.
Vasudai Sananse. In the previous Sinhala discussion, I hear little things that seem very interesting, and it's a shame that we don't get it in English as well.
No, you have the book here. Exactly. English came first. Very rarely only we got the Sinhala, concept and reality. I will show you the book.
Yes, I know the book, Bhante.
No, tell me the event. The case you are talking, I will give the quotation.
Okay. Yes, I was just wondering what Bhante was saying a bit about the Anidasana Vijnana.
Yeah.
And if you could, for just a couple minutes, explain what you understand
about Vijnana. Vijnanananda, the author, is my teacher. He says, commentator is going to say, Vijnana is equal to Nibbana-like kind of interpretation. It is wrong. The Nibbana is not Vijnana, but Vijnana going with that... Anidasana Vijnana. Vijnana is no more. That is Nibbana. So whenever Vijnana becomes Anidasana, it is Nibbana. So later Venerable Jnananda resolved it. He says that is what the Kevada Sutta was telling. And therefore, earlier he says Vijnana is Nibbana. But Anidasana is a Mukadda Visheshana Padetika in English. Visheshana. Adjective. When you put the adjective Anidasana, Nibbana. And exactly the same thing, Adi Sankar, he told, Brahman without any exemplification, without any reflection, without any image, is the pure form of Brahma. That's almost like Nibbana, that's Advaita. Because Bodhi found the danger by understanding Advaita as Nibbana is wrong. But some other person told, please, Buddha accepted Anidasana Vijnana as Nibbana. It's another shade of Nibbana, a shade of Vijnana, but Vijnana unexpressed, Vijnana unsupported, Vijnana unexemplified, Vijnana without an image. It's a Nibbana. It's Sankara also, without that Nibbana. Sanya also, without Anidasana become Nibbana. Anything... The negative of anything, either dark matter or dark matter, dark energy, is the negative of the matter. Without that, matter can't live. And the dark matter, dark energy, explain about the 99% of the space. Only 1% matter. We are fighting and warfare and everything on the 1%. So therefore, this is very nice and this is the best book. Collected all the suttas related to, you find it, this thing, Tripitaka. But lucky enough, there was one person before him, E.R. Sarachandra. He had a very nice drama, three dramas in Sri Lanka, Singabahu, Pemato Jayati Soko, Maname. He was the first. Venuma jnana the narrow it down to the utterly to the Theravada. And this is a genius, this book. And he's talking about, and he says how weak the commentators are, Buddha Gosa. But he is giving a fair, how do you call, discussion, fair dialogue. And we also can criticize Jnananda as well as the Buddha Gosa, because we also have some experience of when he is here. Yes, I know he is here, but he is not here. I have some kind of a space for him, if he is attraction for me. Every matter is having and not having space as far as it is related to us. He's talking about the not having a wife, not having a money, not having a night meal, not having fame, not having game. I mean, we have a space in the mind. And that is more related to Nibbana than the having a wife and having a money, having a dinner and having other amenities. So negative you have to understand. And then negative also fading off. Fading off to anidasana, not exemplified, that is called unmanifested in the official translation, unmanifested. Things are there, unmanifested. Just like the bottom of the iceberg. Tip is manifested, so that is what we were discussing for the last hour.
Thank you, Mante. Could one, another as well way of understanding it is that it's anidasana, it's non-manifestative because different devatas and brahmanas cannot see the consciousness of an arahant?
No, any consciousness at the beginning, anidasana, after slowly it becomes manifested. So you have to go back to the zero. Zero is always anidasana. Anidasana one is slowly become manifested, and just like an egg cell is growing, and at the beginning one single cell. And when it's a party rating, so and you become an Olympic runner. So you have to see the potential in the egg cell or with the stem cell. And therefore nothing to Brahma, nothing to the, they are all your creation. But the Buddha says go to the zero. And go to the end of it, if it is possible. Again, it becomes anidasana. What is the beginning of the breath? What is the end of the breath? Anidasana. Nibbana is lying there, so we are chasing behind the breath. There is no other way. But occasionally, you may see the beginning of the breath and the end of the breath. That means the bell-shaped curve. You see the tip and slowly coming down. At that zero level, datum line, everyone in Nibbana. So, end of beginning of the breath is Nibbana, end of the breath is Nibbana, middle only we can say long breath, short breath, warm, cold, left nostril, right nostril, everything. They are Anidasana.
So, Anidasana is the sense of when you cannot place it, sort of.
Unmanifested. No example, no epithet you can give. It does not indicate it is not available. It is available, but not showing. As if you have some qualities you don't know, not manifested yet. So once it comes, everyone says, oh, he's a genius. You are a born genius. No one knows. Each one of us is a genius. But we are talking about the manifested qualities. It's trivial. So we have to understand the humanity. We are human. Whatever it may be, whether manifested or not. So potential-wise, possibility-wise, we are equal. But manifested-wise, he is a man, he is a girl, that is a king, he is a subject, and all this nonsense are the manifested one. So the Satipasala, we have the idea, we have the birthright to become mindful. We are mindful, whether you like it or not. But we are just going and say, we're just catalyzing it. Nothing we give.
Thank you.
You are too young. So you have to get little older. You have to live on the earth little bit. Okay, Buddha Rakita Hamduro, please continue. We spend about 20 minutes.
So we're on the 12th verse in this sutta. So that by which they might speak of him, worldlings as well as ascetics and Brahmins, is not esteemed by him. Therefore, he is not stirred up by words. So here, the Buddha is pointing out how an arahant, you know, the object of the mind of an arahant, or the way the arahant is thinking, the stream of consciousness of the mind, the interest is not in what other people might say of him. So they might criticize the arahant, they might judge him, but he is not distracted by what they have to say, because he doesn't value it particularly, because he values his own, you know, he's valuing what's happening for himself in the here and now. He's not judging it. And so he's not thinking about what's happening for him. He's just knowing what's happening for him. He's observing what's happening for himself, but he's not judging what's happening for himself. So he's not saying, "Oh, I don't deserve this. This is not fair. I'd rather something better." You know, there's not that gap between what's happening and that he wants something else. He wants it to be otherwise. He doesn't want it to be the way it is. So this wanting is removed, and therefore there's just this experience of things being as they really are. And this doesn't mean that, like, that accidents don't happen or that difficulties don't arise. They do, but they're dealt with accordingly. You know, they're experienced as experiences. So if I get rained on, I get rained on. If it's a cold day, it's a cold day. But there isn't that judgment, I don't deserve to have this cold day happening, or that I don't deserve this rain to be raining on me. Things are arising because of causes and conditions. So one isn't subject to the judgments of others. So in this way, he's not stirred up by the words of people, whoever those people are, whether they are, as he calls it here, worldlings or ascetics or Brahmins. So he understands the world the way it really is. And so this is a comment that Dhammajiva and I often go talking about, is that news, a lot of the news is not really news anymore. It's just entertainment. So instead of giving reports in the news, they give opinions in the news. And as a result, people get stirred up by these opinions. But if a reasonable person was asked in court, you know, they would say, well, the news is false. Then the judge might say, well, why do you believe it? It's not actually meant to be truth and verifiable. It's just meant to be opinion, and it's just meant to be entertainment. So we can be mistaken when we sit down at 9 o'clock in the evening to watch the 9 o'clock news, and we think we're going to get, you know, solid, verifiable information that is not opinionated. But in reality, we get opinions, because it's a lot cheaper. If you have to do very careful investigation and reporting, this is very expensive. It's very, very cheap to have an opinion. The same with having an expert opinion on something. You may have to spend half of your life to develop the knowledge and the insight and the experience into something, whereas you can be like straight off of the street, and if somebody says, what do you think of this, and you have an opinion, it's that cheap. So similarly, you know, here in this verse we can see how important it is to you know, keep our mind on our own business, and not to be not entertain the opinions of others, especially those that are not informed, that are not knowledgeable, that don't know the path. You know, they're entitled to their own opinion, but it doesn't mean that we should include or bring into our own heart their opinion about things. And in this way, we just mind our own business and get on with the practice. And we see things as they really are. Seeing things as they really are is that this is just an opinion. This is entertainment. This is a superficial understanding of what's happening. That this is an opinion that's full of wrong views or just views and opinions and ideology, or it's full of craving. So the central theme of the Sutta Nipata is the role of views and the role of craving in the world, and how the person who is knowing, the mindful person, the arahant, is ultimately cutting through these views and these cravings and other things like defilements and so forth. And they know the world as it really is. Whereas most other people, in this case, the worldlings, the Brahmins and the ascetics of the other sects, are like, they just don't know. So whatever they have to say is not of any significant importance, and we shouldn't take it into our hearts and be stirred up. So again, in the modern times, we have to think about things like social media. And like, I get asked at times, oh, you know, do you think I should put, you know, my time and effort into commenting into Twitter or into Instagram or some other thing? And like, I'm saying, well, what's the benefit? You know, can you get by in your life without these things? You know, how can you use them as a tool that's successful and useful for yourself? And if it's not a use, if it's not of benefit, if it's not of utility value, why are you involving? Why do you give any time to this? You know, oh, because everybody else is doing it. You know, everybody else is doing a lot of things. Do you need to do it for yourself? And it can be very destructive, especially if we can't distinguish between reality and other people's opinions. And this matters a lot, especially for younger children. So especially for young girls, especially between the ages of, like, you know, 11 and 13, where they're forming their sense of self-identity, that if they are on things like Instagram and Twitter, but especially Instagram, where, you know, they post a picture of themselves and then people give a like or a dislike around that picture, then this is in this, like in this case, these are worldlings giving their opinion. Oh, I give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And this is hugely detrimental to people's, you know, to that child's understanding of themselves. And this is really resulting in measurable impact, negative impact on the person, because they take sincerely their foolish advice, that foolish feedback, those foolish words. It goes to the heart. They don't know how to protect themselves. So this is really very, very toxic. So we can see how foolish opinion, foolish advice taken into the heart, especially if the person is immature, is extremely damaging, and it's extremely toxic. And I pay attention to it because this leads to a lot of things like anorexia, to arguments with family members and parents, because they feel like, oh, I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not popular enough. When there's nothing wrong with the child. The child is perfectly a decent person, a normal person. And in many cases, the more pretty they are, the more they feel like that I'm not pretty enough. And people who are critical can be extra critical of more attractive girls, for instance, and pick out a feature or something like that and say that this could be better or something like that. And it's instead of the child being outside playing with other children, they are spending their time alone with their devices, you know, feeding on opinions, feeding on what worldlings and ascetics and Brahmins have to say about themselves or other people. And this completely distorts their sense of reality, their sense of well-being, and this is really stirring up their heart. So we can see how significant this kind of a statement is, that, you know, for the arahant, for these people on the path, what others have to say is not esteemed, and therefore they are not stirred up by words. So this is a very profound message, even into this modern time. And if anybody has younger children and they're listening, they should really make sure that their kids are absolutely not allowed near any of these apps, especially Instagram, you know, especially for young girls, especially till they're more than 15 years old, because this is really leading to severe mental health issues. I'd be very happy to hear what Mahathera has to say.
So to bring back home, I will just chant the particular stanza. The numbering of the stanzas changed from the Bhikkhu Bodhi's book and the Buddha Jayanti. Buddha Jayanti is numbers at 863. Bhikkhu Bodhi marked it as 861. Yena nang vajju putujana ato samana brahmana tangtasa apurikkhata tasma vadesu nejati. The worldly beings may be a Brahma, or be a Brahmana, or be a Putujana. They have their own likings and disliking. They have their own defilements. And talk about you. You are good, you are bad, you are this and that. They are talking with their own holded view. And ඒ දෝෂය ඔහු විසින් පෙරට නොකරන ලද වේ. He do not know he is talking with his own bloody stirred mind. He is talking with his own blooded, the clouded mind, puddled mind. And therefore, if you are a saint, you are not carried away by what they are praising or they are blaming. Because they are talking with, for their own gain. He verily tried to explain, Murdoch Rupert, when he was running Fox News. And he was utterly misleading and twisting the truth. And in the court, when he asked, so we are not giving news, we are giving entertainment. Why you are listening? Why you are looking? We are not worried about the news. Every one of us needs something cosmetized or facelifted and put little condiments and kind of thing. So ultimately we can't live without news. We can live without food. So he make news into entertainment. A whole world, whole language, every communication is a kind of exaggeration. So therefore that exaggeration, don't carry it away, don't take it. But you have your own teacher and you listen to him and follow him, or you listen to the mindfulness, follow it. And there is a kind of a pivotal point. There is a kind of a benchmark. But you have to listen to the others. Everyone is sick person, mentally sick. They are talking. And they wish to talk about others. They never talk about themselves. So you will have part and parcel of the discussion. You have to understand, sorry fellows, just chatterbox. And today enough media. Leave aside the Instagram and the Facebooks. They're completely misled. And young people, so for the last few weeks or few months, I was so concerned, not due to my immediacy, but about the abuse, adverse childhood experience. And many people go to the wrong habits and misuse of their life and committing suicide and killing, serial killing. And due to the, basically, as Sigmund Freud mentioned, their early childhood experience. So I was at the beginning lost. But Venerable Buddha Rakhit only told me 10 points. Whereby people, we can understand. So we are going to have a national level of research to understand how much these adverse childhood experience exposed children are going to the bad habits and drugs and going to the prison and kind of thing. But there's a one teacher, he came and told, Bante, it is true, we can understand with the child is very aggressive and overactive, we can just, instead of chasing from the class, we can just go to him and say, at home it's a hell. So therefore, we have to understand. And so I was little concerned about that. One interesting point, Bhante. Some people are with both the parents are there. They are with the sound background and they are faring well. But they are a single parent children and the family problems. And some people completely succumb to this kind of a drugs or misuse and misbehavior. But there is a category, even with the adverse childhood experience, they are faring well, Bhante. They are faring well in the class, and they maintain certain amount of moral shame and the moral fear. They are the most wanted people of the mindfulness. Don't talk about only the negative and deteriorated kind. Don't talk about the superior and people, those who need no any help. But there is a kind, they are struggling and tightrope walking. So we have to give little experience for them. Mindfulness is the basic. So that understand, they manage due to their own wisdom. Even the mother is not a good character. The father is not good character. They are maintaining. The Buddha is addressing them. They are in the wavering situation. So how can we understand? I thought we have a research must have two sides. One thing, go to the prison and distribute the questionnaire and say, how much of you, they are in the prison, you have affected by early childhood experience, bad, adverse. And there are some people, they have not exposed with the adverse childhood, but still they are in the prison. There are some people with a very sound background at home and good education, still taken drugs. And some people have intermediate. They had some. Either they have fallen into the wrong trap or not fallen into the wrong trap. So therefore we have to have a civilians also the same question. Yeah? And we have to follow at least 3 years, 2 years to see what is happening. So therefore the people are telling that he mentioned about the girls. Now American people or some other people, they are measuring what is the beauty is. In the Victorian age, they even had the big hip and good breast. And that's a Sihininga Pululukula Riya Thakayuru Tisaratana. This is the way, the Sri Lankan way, they told that the hip must be very thin and the buttocks, and they are very perfect, and the breast and shanky legs. And they have 20 years ago, they prescribed it. And today girls are just following it. Is it really beauty or not? It doesn't matter. And this is the pharmaceutical industry due to beautification. They having the beauty queen contest. People even without meal, they go and just photo them and say, this is the real beauty. So we have to believe now what these foolish people are telling. But to the darkness, whatever the girl equal. To the sex. That is happening in the darkness, not in the beautification. So this is the utter world. And education exactly the same. Health is exactly the same. Law is exactly the same. Money is exactly the same. Media is exactly the same. Six detrimental trends. So each time I go to America, I have my fair time I spend to see these detrimental. This is also I learned by the Ferguson. Neil Ferguson. Now he also in the trap, I think. He's an English fellow teaching in America. He says, where the world is running. And this is to 2,600 years ago. Don't believe what the people are telling. They are talking about their cancer in their mind. But don't dictate also. You have to just listen, but don't take it to your head. Don't heed. Just listen and stop at that level. Suti sutamattam bhavishyati. Don't carry it away. Don't send kites. Don't proliferate. Don't put pendles and storytelling and kind of thing. That is not their mistake. Because you are entertaining. You are entertaining a news. News is not news. And now Sri Lanka is a huge newsmaker. And talking about Sri Lanka completely bankruptcy. And gone, but we don't feel such a thing. Our Satyavasala is unaffected. And things are happening, but making news. Unlucky enough, there are other 5-4 countries already is zinging. America is the biggest. China is the next. And all the countries are zinging. This is Singapore, the Sri Lanka is zinging. Pakistan is zinging. They make news. Because news media is their hand. So therefore, imagine you are living in the forest, no SMS, no Instagram, no media. So then, So whenever Jnanananda used to say, media is a poisoned arrow, it search and go and hit on your heart, like a cruise missile or thermal missile, and searching and go into hit, and he says, you see, I heard the news, my mother is sick. Now I have no meditation, because I have to go and visit the mother. How the news came? You keep the phone in your heart, the phone is bringing the news, and then onward, finished. Or you say that in my our place, in our village monk is being killed by a Muslim. Finished. Everything is finished because he has to go and do something. Utter nonsense. Because the world is run by news today. And that is how girls become succumb. And when you become sick, you succumb to the situation. When you are listening to news, you succumb to the situation. When you are using money, you succumb to the situation. You go to the court, you succumb to the situation. So Venerable Jnanarama says, don't go to lawsuits. Never. If called, you have to go there, but don't believe them. And don't use money. Don't read newspapers. But you see how difficult it is. It appears like we are barbaric. We are not socialized, social enough, so we are cut off. You can find incense sticks. You are not in this thing, but we are by reading also we become socialized, yes. But you see what the Buddha is telling. What the others telling is they are expressing their madness in the mind. They are waves. They are proliferation. So otherwise they have to go for counseling. They have to listen. Some person, you have to pay £30 per hour to listen. Counselor is another sick person, another mad. And you go there, and counselor is before sleeping, he also going to another counselor because he has accumulated so much of muck throughout the day. So this is how the psychiatry. So imagine mindfulness. You are listening to your own. And whenever you are listening to someone, you understand, stop at listening level. Don't, Jnananda used a very nice term, don't ruminate it. You know regurgitation, vomiting and eating again? That's all the romantic, how do you call the cows? Eh? Cows and that whole family have four stomachs. First thing is you put the bulk. And again in the night time, chewing the cud, and then go to the second pool. It is a big pool having a lot of microgerms, this thing. They are eating the organic matter, and then they lose the tract, and the latter part of the stomach is, digestive tract is, killing all the bacteria and getting the protein. This is how it happens. So exactly, we can't live without news. That's a crime. So ananyagatova, rukkamulagatova, sunyagaragatova, we feel like deprived. We feel like cornered. We feel like unsocial. And therefore, I am not telling not only go to the forest and just wait. Yes, see, listen, but stop at seeing level. Ditti dittamatta, sute sutamatta. But you can understand he who proliferate that particular subject is a sick person, is a biased person, who is given that germ to that particular person, also innocent, but they have their weaknesses in the mind. So by reading books and kind of thing, you can understand what the kind of a fool who has compiled the book. Very easy. And best thing is interview reports. Now to often give the interview report so that you can express yourself so other person can understand, because we are talking on mindfulness, we are talking about the breath. We are talking about the walking meditation. So we can understand how much story we are fabricating. Storytelling. Let's call sampappalapa. Frivolous talks. Joseph Goldstein said, pap, 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 sampappalapa. Just chocolate, 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 chocolate. And for that, I know it is, you get blamed, but the females are more succumb to situation. Females are telling, males are not talking. And ultimately, they become the hotbed for cancer or hotbed for defilements. So therefore, all the artists, all that kind of, aesthetic part, they entertain that kind of minds. I mean, without that, you go mad. So you have to have soap opera. You know, opera. There's nothing to see. You just go there and wait. There are girls without panties, come and jump. But that's it you have to do. Soap opera. So this is the way. So I learned them from conspiracy theory. And I learned them from Neil Ferguson. And now I am not interested in. But I know what is the news media is. What is the discussion is. Yesterday, day before, we had the UN Environmental Day. I delivered my messages. I told that people are using the mindfulness for healing and therapy, but we had to think about the preventative. And for that, world is mature enough. So please, by billions of money, you can do nothing. But each and every thought moment, each and every moment you become mindful, you make good vibration to the world. You are not making news. Mindfulness never make news. All the others are making news. So he mentioned about the anorexia. And what happened to the girls today? When I go to foreign countries, I see immigrants in Sri Lanka, immigrants in other countries. What an agony for children, my parents. They are in a cultural shock. But they have seen their own parents, they see their own second generation. No, unbridgeable gap. And the Italian, they say 40 years, how country went into the bad things with the mafia and all the kind of thing. Elderly people say, earlier we also the same. We had senses, we had the moral values. Now, no. So, within one life, I never thought that will be come into so much of manifestation in front of my eyes. It's 70s. So, if I am to live another 20 years, the way of information now I am gathering is completely new. My early childhood friends and the batchmates and the relatives, they never understand. So they appear like I am coming from the Saturn or something alien-like. You have to be in the shit to be citizen. If you try to take this stanza as a reality, you become naturally alien. People don't like you. You are not making news. Very interesting. Very interesting. I use the term conscious army. Well, last retreat came one person from England. He told, whenever you mention conscious army, I had so much, because I can understand what is happening in UK. We have to be mindful. No. Practice, 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 practice. That's it. Of course, these talkings are, books are good. We have to take time. But 1 hour per week is quite enough. That's all my interpretation. Maybe I'm talking too much.
So earlier on, we were talking about vitaka and vichara. And again, vitaka is this lighter talk to the mind of you need to talk your mind onto the object. And vitaka is like initial effort and then sustained effort. So, like these are very tender qualities of the mind, and if we're constantly being distracted by other voices, then that's like you can't allow the vichara, you can't allow it to develop. So that inner voice is getting drowned out by other voices. And a mechanism in how younger girls are getting so damaged by this Instagram, it's not so much even the time that they spend watching the Instagram or the posting or something like that. It's the amount of time that they spend obsessing and thinking about, I wonder if somebody saw my posting or if somebody saw my comment and what do they think about it. So it's this self-judgment and self-criticism sustained over long, long periods of time that's so corrosive and dangerous. So the same with this vitaka and vichara, if we don't have manageability over these mechanisms within our mind of vitaka and vichara, they can work against us. If we can have them in a positive, a virtuous cycle or in a detrimental cycle. So in Buddhism, we try to train and teach the mind how to have initial and then sustained contact with healthy and suitable objects for the mind to grow and develop. However, if you give the mind unhealthy, unsuitable objects, then it will malignant. It'll go malignant. So what you put in is what you get out. So garbage in, garbage out. In Buddhism, we give our mind healthy things. We give it the mind nutrition. And things like Instagram, especially for younger children, it's absolutely toxic and extremely, extremely dangerous. Literally, young kids are dying because of this, because we didn't really have very high suicide rates in children under 10 years of age, especially girls, until very recently. And it can be really linked back to things like Instagram. So I'm not just saying this. It's very disturbing. And I was very fortunate myself to grow up in a time where we didn't have social media. We didn't have internet. We had free range play, where I grew up running around playing with my neighbors and cousins and friends, like I see here in the villages around Mitrigala. And I can identify with how healthy and natural this is, because this is actually how the human has developed over, you know, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years. And it's only in such a recent time, in the last 20 years, that we've given children devices and phones and tablets. And it's only in the last 10 years that we've given them Instagram. And we can really see that that the change is directly correlated to these events. So, you know, this advice of the Buddha to not take seriously what other people are saying about ourselves, and especially when we're on the path, is very important. So again, when I visit overseas, even as a Buddhist monk, as an adult, people these days find it, that they can be very cynical, that religion is something from antiquity or from the past. And they make sort of intellectual comments or snide remarks about the monastic life, about celibate life, about why we go against the norms of a so-called material world. And if I was to take seriously the criticism that I hear, I would no longer be a monk, because it would go to my heart and destroy my mind. Instead, I let that toxic sort of stuff aside and just make it, it's not my business. And I don't bring it into my heart. And this is an active and a dynamic process. It's not a process of numbing or being indifferent. It's a process of minding my own business. And knowing what the practice is, knowing what the path is, and just sticking to it, and just saying, so fare others according to their own karma. However, if parents are listening and, they have children, you really, really keep them away from particularly Instagram and Facebook. These two are worse than many, many kinds of poisons. And we have mental poison these days, not just physical poison. And we have mental dangers, not just physical dangers. And we should really, really be very, very careful. So to give our children the best opportunity to grow, and that would mean not having Instagram and Facebook.
So even with the Instagram, Facebook, if you can mindful message, we are using Facebook for mindfulness now. So they may develop some kind of resistance, but may the intermediate. I will give you a little, take 2 minutes and explain how the Theravada tradition is talking about this vitakka vichara. In jhana practice, sometimes we cut jhana into four. In the first one, we have vitakka vichara piti sukha ekagata. The second one, in the fourth system method, you lost vitakka vichara, and then in the second jhana, piti sukha ekagata. And the third one, you lost vitakka vichara piti sukha ekagata. And the fourth one is upekha ekagata. But many times in the Tripitaka, you find the first jhana is with vitakka vichara piti sukha ekagata. There's another type in the fifth system, measuring by five, only you lost vitakka and vichara available. Vitakkaṁ avichara. And then you, second, third jhana, you lose vitakka vichara both. Imagine the second jhana in the panchakanaya, you have no vitakka but vichara available. That's the point where your directed dispositions, your past memories, your habituation come. Presently, you have no root, but mental proliferation, daydreaming happening. So I was earlier, even under the Pandita Sayadaw's, I preferred the fourth method, the losing vitakka vichara both. But there are some points you can't miss the point. You are missing the vitakka, but vichara available. In the second jhana. Third jhana, you lose both vitakka and vichara. It is just like the second jhana in the fourth system. So where we can understand, sometimes our mind is in a habituation of thinking, but there is no root cause presently. That means due to the past habituation, or directed dispositions. This is psychiatric situation. And many misunderstand it. Many things, I see my past mother, I see some parts of the brain, parts of the skull and the hands, or criminals, I can't relate it. They are vichara only, I mean the regurgitation, sorry, ruminating only, that's a mental habituation. And they are byproducts in our mind. We never expose it to that. Psychiatrists explain them in a completely bizarre. No, it is not a bizarre. It is some relations are there, but there is a catharsis. You are renewing. You are removing your library shorts, your shit, removing. More you release, more catharsis. But you may run mad before that. Think how come that? I am living in Sri Lanka. My mind is thinking about other country or other people, other places. But it's a way of catharsis. So that catharsis is painfully slow. How can I let that pus, the wrath, the carp, to come out? How can the teacher pacify, telling, don't worry, let it go out. Keep the present moment on the mind as pure as possible. The Buddha says four kind of effort. The first part is, Anuppannanam papakanam akusalanam dhammanam pahanaya chandan janeti vayamati viriyang arabati chittam pagganhaji padhati. First and foremost of the mindfulness is keep the stream of consciousness pure for the moment, here and now. But still, uppannanam papakanam akusalanam dhammanam can happen. Your habituation is still in the mind and they start to rut, start to pus, start to carp. So that part, if you have no healthy good interpretation or good interview, definitely you take it negative. Sometimes they are magical powers. Sometimes they are the clairvoyance and the kind of thing. These are the things appreciated by artificial intelligence. They think I have a genius powers to this and that. Shit. They have to understand. It's a wrath. It's a cup. It's a pus. So you can share with others. But don't generalize it. That generalization is a crime. And the government, if going to promote the artificial intelligence, I mean, they are not bad. Sometimes very good, sometimes very bad. But if you are going to appreciate it, younger generation is succumbed to the situation. And I appreciated Facebook for mindfulness. Mindful school, I appreciated. I never opened my Facebook. I never go to the WhatsApp. Account is there. Because Hemant told, Bante, you need not, you can manage definitely with the email. Anyone wish he can talk in the phone or email, they are there. Not that they are bad. Initiated and government appreciated it. Because they can make entertainment. The young people will kill themselves. They will have the serial killing. Because they are living in a Disneyland. They are not living at their home. And they are Disneyland products. So mindfulness also, I wish to have a Disneyland in Kaduela. people to come and play and all the kind of thing. And the parents can understand. They come and one day girl came and she was suicidal. And parents, the mother do not know. I ask. She told, I am go through my ordinary level exam, but I am preparing for the advanced level, but I have enough. I sometimes feel detrimental. I feel sometimes suicidal. Then I told, I will tell you one thing. There are some peer group in Satipasala. You go join. And 3 weeks later, I saw he just came from the river, completely soaked. Bante, today is the first day I jump into the river with this, my normal clothing. And then Asita came, man, this is the girl, Bante. She told she was suicidal. But now, I told, now you have a job. To talk with other peer girls and tell there is a happiness. There's an innocent happiness. Not by brooding upon this suicidal and hating parents and kind of thing. I mean, it is natural, but mindfulness is there. So the mindfulness, Instagram, no problem. Facebook, no problem. And WhatsApp, no problem. Because even with the wavering mind, mindfulness is giving a stepping stone. So, but unlucky enough, our mindful trainers and master trainers are not skillful. They don't know what the mindfulness is. It's a very vast array. So now it's a real refinement for me. Being in the forest, now I am exposed to environmental problem, drug addiction, suicidal, serial killing. Otherwise, we are not concerned about that. But we are not only just concerning about the entertainment, we have an answer. Everyone says these questions will be resolved only with an answer. And very interesting point, I am going to stop my talk. Huh? Very interesting point told about the last time in the rehabilitation of the drug addiction. They told that using on cocaine and the chemicals she mentioned, and that can addiction and the brain damage can happen. Instead, the Western or the Americans maybe, they are selling alternative methadone. Instead of cocaine, you take methadone. And it... Methadone. Yeah. Methadone and no harm. So when we are telling the mindfulness as the remedy, they don't like. You understand the point? So UN says they never heard about mindfulness as a remedy for the drugs. So we are now having a national level this thing to say, even for the drug addicted people, even with the adverse childhood experience, mindfulness is the answer. But it is nothing. No pharmaceutical, no commodity. Exactly the same for the prisoners. I told the second person, the killing other person with the this thing, how to call capital punishment, the it is uncommon in Buddhist jurisprudence. It's a Roman Catholic law. The I can't remember the fellow, he always fight. One can't decide to kill the other person, whatever the legal way. Then you are in that, you are with that uniform. We have to come with the Buddhist jurisprudence. I mean, how can I decide the other person is a criminal to be killed? None. He was astonished. Then so this is we have to have an answer, solid answer, but don't look at from the present day context. Present day context is rotten. But we are miracles, still we are living. Still we are living. I in my Vesak message I told I am very happy I am living now. By now you'd have gone. The way the trap has been set. So not only that, we are selling mindfulness. We give drugs. We give a mindfulness as a drug. Not methadone. They are not happy. Sorry, I have taken a little long time. Yes.
Thank you for that sharing that, Bhante. And you as well, Bhante. relating to the verse and some... personal experience that, and some insights that might be helpful for fellow walkers on the path. Sometimes people with wrong views in the world can be very critical of others walking the path of Dhamma because they don't understand why we would want to do less of things, renounce or go inwards. And when the world is always running forwards and going outside, then sometimes if people don't understand why others would choose to go the other direction, then they might become very cynical, as Bhante said. And one line of a verse, a very famous verse that I remembered, was simply Samana hoti parang vihetayanto. So he is not a samana who hurts others. And the clear kind of message of that is that if you hurt others, you are not a samana. But another way of looking at it is also that by being a samana, you are not actually hurting others, even if they feel hurt by you, because you leave them or because you decide to walk a path that doesn't conform with their ideas of what's best for the world. And so just remembering and having faith in the Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha can allow us to be a lot less shaken by what people of the world say and how they criticize us. And it allows us to stay strong on the path and continue the way of the recluse. Thank you.
As a comment, Buddha mentioned that it is apanaka patipada, non-reactive. When jnana ponika put into the power of mindful and non-coercive. People are very bad. Who cares? Because due to that, we see the external example. The art physics is very bad, but you have to be very thorough about that. Quantum physics is very bad. You have to be thorough about that. The chaos theory is very bad. We have to be thorough about that. Then only we can understand, we can overcome them. He sent me a case that she's been raped and kind of thing. The whole judge, the panel, the jury, and the girl says, I cannot be recovered. Permanent damage. Foolish. All the damage will be recoverable. If you know mindfulness, there is no such a damage. And they started with, I will never be the same person again. Even without raping, you are not the same person in the next moment. That is very understood. And once that you step over, huge crime. It is simple. You see the animal world. It is not a crime. One female may be screwed by 5-6 males. It is not a crime. Bloody shit law is wrong. Bloody shit law is wrong and making news. So therefore, yes, I am happy to listen from America. You are very sluggish.
Thank you, Bhante, for all of those wonderful comments and this wonderful discussion. Yeah, speaking of Facebook, when I was in high school, I got cyberbullied a lot on social media. And this is about the time I would say that Facebook was, like, really exploding and Instagram was kind of taking off, too. And I can see, like, you know, how it would be beneficial if you were using it mindfully, but how many people can use it mindfully? You know? Yeah.
That's what do you call Sila?
Yeah. There's not many people that can use social media mindfully, I think. So, but, you know, I got, you know, cyberbullied, and I got bullied a lot in high school and middle school, too. And so, and it's just part of the reason I think why I came to the Buddhist teachings is because I was trying to figure out, you know, why, like, do I suffer so much? Like, why do these bad things happen? And most importantly, once I got into the Buddhist teachings, it kind of helped me forgive those people because I had a lot of hatred towards those people for what they did to me. So, but yeah, the world of social media, it's very, you know, people back in the time of the Buddha were being very externally focused already. So when we have these things, it's just a way of being more and more externally focused. So, you know, sometimes when we say, like, you know, we, I guess, you know, recite blessings or verses from the Pali texts, you know, we say, like, the Dhamma, you know, timeless, unaffected by time. Well, you know, that's very true. The Dhamma is unaffected by time. It's timeless. So no matter how many more possessions or how many new things come out, like new cell phones, new social media apps, all that stuff, people are still being externally focused. And so, I mean, it's just a way of being more. They just use these things to focus externally even more. So there was a saying by Bhante Nyanadipa, the Danish monk that lived here that died a couple years ago, he said, giving up everything is the only safety. And or that's a quote that's been attributed to him. Yeah, you know, it's, you see that, you know, that being so externally focused is just causing you suffering, and it's causing a lot of pain for other beings too. So it's actually safe to renounce the world and to give up sensual pleasures. It's bringing you to a state of safety. Yeah.
You're still sluggish. You're still living in America. No. You're still in jet lag. So you have to come and work from 10:30 to 11:30.
So in the time of, coming back to in the time of the Buddha, people were villagers, and what other villagers thought of you was very, very important. So the same in the mechanism is similar in this Instagram, is what other people think of you is very important. And the emotion that's being developed is shame. And so shame is I am better than, I am equal to, or I am superior to. So it's you know, once that conceitedness arises, then the expressed feeling is shame. And then from shame arises fear and anger. And so if that anger has no target, it starts to reflect backwards and find into self-hate. So that's why there's a mechanism towards, you know, this anorexia and self-hate. So, you know, so this mechanism is a kind of an eternal path. And if you go down that wrong path, then you'll experience like torture and great self-harm. And as Venerable Mahathero mentioned, you know, there are people like who experience bad things, but they don't... you know, that they actually have a wise disposition and they still move in the right path. You know, Ajahn Chah mentioned, like, one of the reasons he was so wise was because he had kind of had all sorts of terrible things to happen to him. So it wasn't just that he was clever. And I think that that's a great relief to know that you don't have to be a genius to become enlightened. You just have to practice and follow the path. And that's a great relief. If otherwise you would have to be kind of predestined, and you have to have a good life. But the reality is we get dealt the cards that we're dealt with, and it's how we play with those cards that is going to be wisdom or not wisdom. So we can suffer a lot and become wise. But however, it's still. The more wise thing is to not afflict ourselves with suffering and to have good boundaries. So again, in this verse that we've been dealing with today, the Buddha is telling us to have boundaries with, you know, to avoid fools and to safeguard our mind, to safeguard our heart. You know, so he's not saying that I should expose myself to the worldlings. I should ignore what they're saying. You know, I should just keep my attention on my own mind. And this is very important. Yeah.
So I would be happy that to listen to the Channa also, but he never shouted. He is coming from the Minnesota, where the Black Life Matters. But he never talked. But anyway, now it's time up. But we are living in the discussion, very contributive. Thank you very much for the participation. And due to the time limitation, I am going to sum up. Thank you very much again.